Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
This is the Truth Zone, and I am your host, Michael B., coming to you live on this glorious June 27th in North Dallas, Texas, deep within the vortex of the information revolution. And gee, I caused quite a stir yesterday. I just innocently, you know, asked the question if do you still think 9/11 was not an inside job? And I put a picture of Grenfell Tower, the residential complex that became a blazing inferno. Was it a couple of weeks now? I forget. I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. But there was talk about that and how Jeremy Corbyn wanted to, I guess he's the incoming prime minister, or there's going to be a fight about that due to the last election over there. Wants to seize property of the rich and give it to the victims of the Grenfell Tower people, who I guess they're now homeless. And I put up this picture of Grenfell Tower because, you know, it dwarfs in comparison to the World Trade Center towers, and blazing fire, blown out, and yet the structure still stands. So that's all I did. I asked, you know, gee, you still think that 9/11 was not an inside job? And of course, there were some that responded intellectually that said, you know, it's just, that's just a conspiracy, and they gave this scientific reasoning for why the towers collapsed. And I just asked, well, can you give me another building that was hit by a plane, commercial jet, whatever, and then collapsed like a pancake? And of course, I've asked that question for years, and no one has ever been able to answer it, because quite simply, there is not another example. And then, you know, I used the word boiling point. I said, well, you know, jet fuel has a certain boiling point, and then it's gone. And then, you know, people are trying to be, just trying to be funny and semantical. You know, oil doesn't boil off. You know, should I have said evaporation? Should I have said, you know, burn off point? Someone tried to say, well, you know, the Grenfell Tower wasn't dripping oil. Well, the towers weren't dripping oil either. Oil has a maximum burn-off point at a certain temperature, and steel has a melting point of another temperature. And oil is going to burn off a hell of a lot faster than steel is going to melt. But, you know, let's not talk about that. And I'm sure, and I think the guy's name, the owner of the property at the time, he might still be, I think his name is David Silverstein. And of course, as we approach 9/11, I'll be doing a 9/11 show. It'll be my first one in, gee, I don't think I've done one in 2 years. So, and I wonder if I could get my friend, the One Angry Jew, to co-host with me when the time comes. And, you know, I think his name is David Silverstein. And I guess it was just a coincidence that he just happened to double his insurance coverage on the entire property months, not years, but months before 9/11 occurred. And he got X amount of billions of dollars. And I'm sure it was just a coincidence that in Senate and congressional white papers, or was it the military? I'm not quite sure. Where they said, you know, they wanted to bring about a certain, dare I say, like New World Order, something of that nature, and they needed another Pearl Harbor to get the people on board with, let's just say, the strengthening of the military powers within the country, and let's say, not having us as free and relaxed as we were pre 9/11. That must have been a coincidence too. And I guess it was also a coincidence that on September 11th, 1991, George Bush 41 blatantly called for a new world order, a new rule of law, to make us basically good little puppies. I'm sure that was a coincidence because, you know, I mean, 10 years later, his son is president, Bush 43, and we have September 11th, 2001. 10 years to the day. I mean, I'm sure that it's a coincidence. And I'm sure that the other coincidence is that the plane hitting the Pentagon just so happened to hit the newly fortified section of the Pentagon, minimizing damage and minimizing casualties to important people, okay? And I'm sure that the only plane to not reach its target, which some say it was supposed to go into the White House, some say it was supposed to go into the U.S. Capitol, but that plane in particular didn't make its intended target, but the other three did. And that must have been just a coincidence. It must have been just a coincidence that NORAD was running drills that day and stood down while 9/11 happened. I am sure that all of these are coincidences. That they just happened. And it's all Saudi Arabia's fault, because they financed 9/11, yet we don't see a declaration of war. We don't see a cessation of aid. Matter of fact, Trump just signed an arms deal, right? Giving them more weapons. We don't see sanctions on them. We see nothing. We see handshakes and bowing the last 16 years. But that, you know, that must not mean anything. Right. I'm sure that there's nothing to see here, and there's no conspiracy. Never mind the fact that I have interviewed certified pilots, and they said, no way, no way on this planet could those supposed amateurs fly two commercial jets with such precision at that speed through a city like that and hit its targets. But so what? Forget about all the physicists. Forget about all the architects. There's nothing to see here. The bullet stopped in midair, caused four injuries, and Lee Harvey Oswald was the only shooter. Let's just discount the Zapruder film, and let's just negate the laws of physics. Why not? Because, I mean, after all, the American government are just full of noble people. And even though the Bible says, don't put your trust in nobles, or don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in God, I'm sure that there's nothing to see here. And I just stirred up a lot of emotion and anger in people because, you know, how dare anyone question the motives of our government. I'm sure that they're honest and they're decent people. They were decent people then, and they're decent people now. I'm sure. So, moving right along, the theme of the show today is that everything the liberals say that they stand for the opposite. And I wrote some notes down. Liberals say that they're against violence and that it is we, the patriots, the real Americans that own guns, cling to our Bibles, and cling to our guns. we're the real threat to America. I believe it was Harry Reid that actually came right out and said that we are domestic terrorists. We the Christians, the conservatarians, conservatives, gun owners, freedom-loving 3%ers, that we're the problem. But it's interesting, because actually, and this comes from Godfather Politics, Gary DeMar is a fantastic, fantastic writer. And I love using his material. And you'll hear from me using his work at least once a week, if not twice. And so he titles this article from June 16th, "Leftists Have a Long History of Advocating Violence to Advance Their Cause." So, quote, "There will be blood. Democrat State Representative Douglas Geis threatened from the floor of the Michigan House of Representatives in 2012 as its members debated legislation that eventually made Michigan the nation's 24th right-to-work state. Union thuggery is not uncommon or new. It was Jimmy Hoffa Jr. who said this about the Tea Party. Let's take these son of a bitches out and give America back to an America where we belong." Well, I didn't know that America stood for killing fellow Americans just for what they believed in. And especially when they weren't breaking somebody's arm, as Thomas Jefferson would say. "The history of the labor movement in this country is a history of purposeful disorder." Quote, "As it entered the industrial age full blast in the 1870s, America had plunged into the bloodiest and most violent labor history of any industrial nation in the world. Under the auspices of the First Education and Defense Society, workers met regularly and drilled with firearms. On May 4, 1886, during a labor rally in Chicago's Haymarket Square, anarchists had thrown a bomb into police ranks, killing 7 policemen and injuring 70 more. The gathering had organized to protest the killing of 6 striking workers at the McCormick Harvest Plant. At the trial for the anarchist leaders, the following treatise, written by Johann Most, a leading American anarchist, was entered into evidence. Science of Revolutionary War, Manual for Instruction in the Use and Preparation of Nitroglycerin, Dynamite, Gun Cotton, Fulminating Mercury, Bombs, Fuses, Poisons, and so forth. Most's guide consisted of information he gathered from his experience at an explosives factory in Jersey City. With a certain zest, he contemplated using hand grenades and blasted cartridges, the proletariat's substitute for artillery. Larger bombs were even more promising. That which reduces what has been solid rocks into splinters may not have a bad effect in a court or a monopolist ballroom. Like all romantic revolutionaries, these early social justice warriors believed that humanity could be saved only with blood and iron, poison, and dynamite. Well, that seems pretty terrorizing to me. And it seems this terrorism certainly was on a domestic level. In 1912, because of a dispute over unionization, the Los Angeles Times building was dynamited and 21 people were killed. 16 packets of bombs were found in the New York Post office in April of 1919. In June 1919, bombs damaged the houses of the U.S. Attorney General, the mayor of Cleveland, and judges in New York and Boston. In September 1920, a group of anti-capitalist anarchists set off a bomb on Wall Street, killing 38 people. These tactics were copied during the turbulent 1960s. Abby Hoffman, whose book Revolution for the Hell of It, 1968, is shown with a rifle in his hand leaping for joy on the cover. Hoffman's rhetoric about revolution was just a warm-up. In Steal This Book, 1971, he gave instructions on how to build stink bombs, smoke bombs, sterno bombs, aerosol bombs, pipe bombs, and Molotov cocktails. Well, no wonder the communists would use Molotov cocktails. Hoffman's updated version of the Molotov cocktail consisted of a glass bottle filled with a mixture of gasoline and styrofoam, turning the slushy blend into a poor man's version of napalm. The flaming gasoline-soaked styrofoam was designed to stick to policemen when it exploded. Helpful drawings on how to make the incendiary devices were included. So, and then we fast forward to almost 100 years, and we saw the violence at the Trump rallies. We saw the, just days ago, right, the shooting of congressmen at a baseball field by a Bernie Sanders supporter. We saw the violence erupted at the university's Antifa, which means anti-fascism. Really? Well, then if they're anti-fascists, they wouldn't try to censor speech, would they? But yet, and this is coming from Canada, and by the way, you folks can say, well, it's Canada. Well, I'm going to have another example here in the States that we have censorship of free speech. So I'm going to play the first clip, and this is attacking religion, actually. Freedom of religion in Christian schools, they're under attack using the Bible to teach certain points of view. Here we go with the clip.
A Christian school in Canada is worried about its freedom of religion after being told to stop teaching Bible verses that could be deemed offensive. The local authorities say passages in the Bible that denigrate or vilify one's sexual orientation should not be studied in class. The school disagrees, however, saying the ban would violate its constitutional rights. The authorities are standing their ground, though, insisting that the potentially offensive passages should not be a part of the curriculum. Well, we got differing reactions to the issue.
The point of the whole, education system is to have discussions and to be able to say that this is text that is said here. Let's discuss it in an open forum. I am a religious gay man who's Muslim, and when I hear things about people taking things away from the...
He's a religious gay man, which, first of all, gay means happy and lighthearted, and these people are far from it. He's homosexual and Muslim. Now, you want to talk about a paradox. In that case, shouldn't he be throwing himself off of a building? Because that's what Muslims do to homosexuals. And I wonder where this guy lives. He certainly doesn't have a Middle Eastern accent. I would love to see him parade around Saudi Arabia and openly telling people he's a religious homosexual Muslim. I wonder how far down the street he would get before he was grabbed and helped off the building rooftop. Let me continue.
From any type of holy text, it does kind of bother me in a way, but at the same time, there's the talk about, we want to teach your kids how to be inclusive and how to teach your kids to respect different types of races, cultures, sexualities.
That's what the school board used, is the word offense. They said you need to get rid of...
Before this woman continues, now, here's a guy that just contradicted himself. First, he says it bothers him that censorship, he didn't say the word censorship, but that's what it is, was taking place or being called for, but then, but we should be teaching our children to be all inclusive and to respect certain sexualities and races. Well, he's got the racist part right, you know. I mean, after all, we shouldn't be bigots, we shouldn't be racist. But I'm not gonna teach a child to respect abominable behavior. Now, I'm not gonna teach children to throw people off of rooftops or to stop them from getting a job, or to do violence on them. Or to mentally abuse them. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm certainly not going to teach children to accept homosexuality as a brand of norm and then to be okay with legislature being passed that they're to be recognized as married people, and whoever doesn't want to bake a cake or make flower arrangements should be fined heavily to where they're out of business, take sensitivity courses. And I'm not going to teach children to have it said that it's okay for same-sex couples to receive children into their care and to have them artificially created. No, I'm not going to teach that because that's not acceptable. It's an abomination to God. It's an abomination to nature. And I'm just not going to do it. So this guy contradicts himself. He contradicted himself. His whole life is a contradiction. How can he be a religious Muslim and homosexual openly? Can't do it. You just can't do it. It's like a Christian being pro-choice, which is really pro-death, and we'll get into that later in the show. You can't do it. You just can't. It's a total contradiction of the belief system that you say that you come out of. Can't do it. So, and then... censorship bothers him, but yet, hold on a second. It is okay, though, if it's not teaching our children the leftist agenda of total inclusivity, which really just creates more division, as we've seen in our society. We continue with the woman, a woman is speaking, and she's going to counter he's at war. I can't find the right paradox. He's right. He's at war with himself. He's in total conflict. So here we go.
Of all offensive texts from the Bible and stop teaching this. And when it comes to that word, it can be interpreted in any way. I could be offended by the whole Bible, hence why some people in history burned the entire book because they found the entire thing offensive. Instead of responding to censorship with more censorship, we should respond with more free speech, and we should be teaching...
Let me tell you something. The only people that have a problem with the Bible, especially the Christian scriptures, and what it teaches you on living in your everyday life, the only people that have a problem with that are scumbags, okay? They're the only ones that have a problem with it and want it to disappear because maybe they're not living their lives beyond reproach. Now, look, everybody falls short, okay? I am not perfect, but I can tell you this much. I'm not pro-death. infanticide. I don't cheat people. I don't embezzle people. My word is my word. I keep my word. My yes means yes, and my no means no. And a lot of times I'll cave to my own detriment, to the benefit of someone else, but at my harm, and that's going to end, really. But at any rate, the only people that have a problem with Christianity are those that are living against it. Because many, you know, we have this situational ethics deal, this transhumanist manifesto where we can just make up right or wrong as we go along, and everything is in a gray area, and who are we to judge? Which judgment 2,000 years ago isn't the judgment that is being twisted in today's liberal society. So we're allowed to discern behavior, and we're allowed to include or exclude people that are basically anti-Christian. And what I mean by that is not living according to the body of Christ. Now, let me further say, you can be a very honorable, honest person, right? You can be pro-life, you can be pro-freedoms, right? Legitimately, you can be legit, as they say, without pronouncing a Christian faith. You don't have to call yourself a Christian yet. You could be living by the Christian scriptures without even knowing it. And those types of people I'll include in my inner circle. Absolutely. But I have every right to include, exclude, as I see fit, who could be or is a detriment to my everyday living. I can do that, but people that have a problem with that, 9 times out of 10, you look at their lives and the decisions they make, and you can see why. You could see clearly why they would be anti-Christian. So, you know, speech, that's offensive. Well, how come liberals don't ban their own speech? Behead Trump, kill Trump, take these son of a bitches out, kill them, hang them, and all this other stuff. Trump's presidency looks like I took a dump and I call it art. And I played that montage yesterday. How come that speech isn't banned? You see, the speech, the liberal, see, liberal means to be free, to liberate and free something from control or bondage. No, these people want absolute bondage. They want their freedom of speech, their speech, what they deem is acceptable, which most normal people, and yep, I'm going to say that, normal people would find offensive. But to say a certain piece of literature is offensive, well, why don't we let society in general decide what's offensive? And in this country, still, and it will for a very long time. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say that Christianity is going to make, not that it has to make a comeback per se, but I'm going to say it's going to get even stronger in our country from what it is today, right? I mean, it's taken a beating the last 50 years. Christianity is going to be on the uptake, and these other counterfeit religions or faiths or ideologies, they're going to wane off. They're going to decrease, because evil only triumphs for a short time. People stay asleep only for a short time. Now, some people never wake up, but in a mass society, people will see what works and what doesn't work. Eastern Europe is finding that out, right? They're not opening their doors to the so-called Muslim refugee crisis. They're not having terrorism. You see, Venezuelans are starving to death. They're eating their domestic animals, their dogs and cats, for food. They're finding out that socialism doesn't work. We, for some reason, as a country, can't look at another country, can't see the 187 times, I think that's the number, over a communism, socialism, whatever you call it, totalitarianism is what it really is, has failed every single time. And yet, so much of Western Europe and so much of America, they're calling for something that is an epic fail. So I do believe that Christianity will become stronger in America as we see more and more corruption, as we see the left getting more and more desperate, because they are losing. Overall, they are losing. Okay, Starbucks has taken a hit in their stocks for their beliefs. Target has taken a hit in their stocks for what they've tried. Chick-fil-A saw mass abundance when they were attacked. Hobby Lobby saw mass abundance when they were attacked. So we're seeing the mainstream media, which is mostly leftist, we're seeing their numbers collapse. They're only propped up by corporate billionaires not caring to take a loss. They're more concerned about having a venue to give us a twisted, sick ideology that only makes them richer and us poorer. They'll sacrifice profit for their ideology. And that's what Ted Koppel accused Hannity of, that I played yesterday. Oh, you know, you're such a smart guy. You could be doing so much, and yet you spread such and such that in the long run, you're a detriment. You see, that's the deflection that these people do. I mean, it comes right out of their playbook. Everything that they accuse us of doing, they do. Okay? We're the ones where our yes means yes, our no means no. We're the ones that keep our word, for the most part. No one's 100%, but we have the integrity. We have the loyalty. We have the morals. We have the ethics. And we say what we mean, and we mean what we say. And they try to twist that because they know deep down who they are. And that's why they have to get so violent. Because they can't win an argument or a position intellectually. They have to take it to the violent level, or they have to take it to the condescending level. You know, I expected more from you, Sean Hannity. You know, I you're a smart guy, and I'm just disappointed. See, they try that platitude of, I expected more from you. Yeah, uh-huh. Well, if accepting bullshit, if accepting lies, if accepting hypocrisy, if that is what their expectation is of us, well, we'll never be accepted in their eyes. And quite frankly, I wouldn't want to be accepted in their eyes. So this young lady continues.
Things about inclusivity as well as things about creationism and evolution. Just bring more education instead of trying to deny the opportunity to understand these texts to the children.
There's no way that that we would be able to have these conversations if things were cut out or if we hid ourselves from things. You want to put gay people back in the closet. You're also putting religion back in the closet as well.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with challenging these verses and questioning it. In fact, I find it quite interesting that I'm speaking with a Muslim gay man? Because that is a big question we're dealing with right now. You have countries where they've imposed things like Sharia law, strict Islamic law, where gay people are thrown off roofs right now. And we need to talk about that. And we're not going to be able to do that without free speech on the issue, on both gender issues and religious issues.
Well, and as far as, you know, evolution stuff, look, public schools have, the government sets their standards. But as far as I'm concerned, if a Christian school doesn't want to teach that humans are descendants of apes, I'm fine with that. Because first of all, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about those electromagnetic tests or whatever they do. And I don't care about skull comparisons, carbon dating, there you go. Comparing skulls and Neolithic era and pre-protoplasmic boop-a-boop-boop era. I don't care. They haven't found anything that, and they won't, thank you, that conclusively says, I come from a chimpanzee. Sorry. But one thing evolution has proven, and that is that the Bible is 100% correct in the order of God's creation. And I talked about that, I believe, last week. The universe was an empty void. God created and formed the earth, land masses, and water. Then the illuminations of the moons, darkness and light. A mist formed over the earth. You had plant life. Then sea creatures. Air creatures, birds and what have you. Land animals. Then man. That's the order. That's all that evolution and science has proven in the order of how the universe, the earth, and how we have come to be. That's all science has proved, is that Genesis is 100% correct. That's it. That's all they have. They have nothing that says, I come from a gorilla. They don't have it, and they're not going to have it. Because it doesn't exist. So, the federal government, they can teach anything they want. Or they can try to. Parents have the right to say, well, you know, if you're going to teach my child that homosexuality at 5 years old is cool and that he can wear a dress if he wants, well, I'm going to pull my child out until you pull that piece in the curriculum. Or I'm going to send my child, hopefully I've got the money, to Christian parochial school. Or if I could stay home, I'm going to homeschool. See, we should always have that option. But as the picture shows for my show today, liberals want to squash your religious rights. Oh, not of the Muslims, though. Who are the most violent against the people that they support. They hate homosexuals and they treat women worse than property. But yet the liberals are in full support of that religion. You talk about slitting your own throat, literally. The liberals do it over and over again. But you see, liberals, whose real father is Satan, because all of this comes from Manly P. Hall and Alice Rice, I believe her name is. Now I'm getting a brain cramp on a few of these people. Margaret Sanger, Aleister Crowley, who was an open Satanist. All of these people. Bill Ayers, Saul Alinsky, George Soros, Zbigniew Brzezinski, all of these people. they are all pawns of Satan. And liberals and feminists will team up with Muslims who really hate them, who really kill them on a daily basis. You see me read the Religion of Peace .com website, the daily killings, how women and children are killed every single day around the world. But the liberals and the Muslims have one thing in common. They both hate Christians. Because Christianity stands up for truth. And truth is the last thing that left-leaning people stand for. That's the last thing that they care about. So you want to talk about, okay, I played you a clip of something that's happening in Canada. And by the way, that comes from RT.com, Russia Today, of a great affiliate, by the way. Larry Kingman over there, Ron Paul is over there, many other people have jumped ship from the mainstream media. And of course, you know, Ron Paul is a libertarian, so that just makes sense that he wouldn't have gone to either Fox or CNN, that he has his own affiliate and he works out of Russia Today as well. So, again, another article from Gary DeMar, and it's dated the 23rd of June. Gene Ponder, a teacher of advanced placement government economics at Spanish Fort High School, this is out of Florida, by the way, compiled a list of 31 books for summer reading. Students only had to choose one book. Nearly every book is of the conservative to libertarian variety. To no one's surprise, there was a general freakout by the establishment statist educators. Baldwin County Board of Education President Shannon Cawley told Gulf Coast News Today that she became aware of the issue through social media and alerted the superintendent. Quote, as a courtesy, the school principal called to let me know that the list has been removed and assignment canceled, Cawley said in a Facebook post. He'll be sending an email to all senior students and their parents to notify them that there will be no summer reading assignment for this AP government class. So, because this teacher put out a list that he felt was relevant to his course, and every school that I know of has summer reading. But because it's viewed as conservative or libertarian, we can't have that. So not even asking that teacher to perhaps maybe balance the, you know, redo the reading list, let's just cancel it all together. Let's not promote reading over the summer at all. Bad enough that children jerk off on the internet hours at a time, and that's all they do. Now let's just like have nothing over the summer. Great. So don't revise the list. We'll just cancel the whole assignment. Well, if that's beneficial to education, you know, liberals say that they care about children and want to, you know, they want free education so everybody has a shot. Yet they'll cancel an entire summer reading assignment because the list isn't liberal enough. And that's what's happening here. Superintendent Eddie Tyler confirmed that in a statement, saying the teacher had removed the reading list. It is no longer on the website. Yeah, the teacher was forced to remove it. Mr. Ponder's reading list that is going around on social media has not been endorsed by the school system. The list has been removed by the teacher. Right, and I'm sure if he didn't, he would have been fired. Baldwin County Public Schools has a process to vet and approve reading lists so that a variety of sources are used. I expect all employees to follow our processes, procedures, and policies. Okay, as I said, okay. Why wasn't the list at least revised? No, the whole thing is totally canceled. Because it doesn't conform to the leftist ideology for how they want to educate our children. So, teachers having conservative libertarian leanings or religious leanings, be it public schools or private schools, they're under attack. So, it's not even fair and balanced expression of religion. No, this country condemns one, promotes another who is the deadly, has the most deaths, clearly, by far, in their religion. And when it comes to education, it better be our agenda or the whole thing is canceled. And you could possibly be fired. That is what the leftists call liberating. So, my solution, as I've said to this audience, parents need to be on the same page politically, spiritually, and ideologically, on the same page. And they need to take time out somewhere in the 168 hours of the week, set aside time to A, pass on their beliefs and educate their children on those beliefs, and to deprogram the corruption that their children are under, 8 hours a day. So that's the solution, because I don't think that it's a good idea for parents to just solely rely on third-party sources to mold their children. And that's exactly what's being done here. And the leftists, you better believe, will act in a fascist way, because that's just what that was. That's an example of fascism. That's a prime example. Yet, they call themselves Antifa. And it's funny. You know, the liberals are pro-life when it comes to a rapist or a murderer. Oh, no. They're against the death penalty. And, oh, they hate racism. They're not for racism. But I guess it's not racism to attack white people, to say that the election of Trump was a white lash, and that it's a stain on America, and to say to put America first, Chris Matthews thinks, well, that must just stand for white people and that it's racist. I guess that's not racism. So, pure hypocriticalness, if that's a word, totally in conflict. And that's why they're so violent. That's why they're so violent. That's why they're so angry. That's why you can't have a conversation with these people. Even if it starts a little bit intellectual, by the time you give your third point, they're calling you names. They're calling you names. They're elevated. They're screaming at you. And basically, you're stupid. You're a stupid idiot. That's what it comes to. And then if it goes further, they'll punch you in the mouth. Because they cannot win the intellectual debate. So here is a wonderful call, you know. Oh, they don't want the death penalty for murderers, but they don't mind the mass infanticide of this.
Hi everyone, Lisa Haven here, and I've got a bombshell news report to share with you. Well, a feminist magazine called Medusa Magazine has come up with a report saying that white women should not have any more white babies because they're causing the racist problem. Oh my gosh, this is insane. You know, this Medusa Magazine, who claims to be for women's rights, we support the right of women and the right of women to get jobs, the right of women to have equal stance on all the other grounds. Yeah, that kind of organization that's like all gun-ho women rights thinks that it's okay to stand on women, white women in particular, and their babies, saying, help society, you progressive liberal white woman, by not having any more white babies. Yeah, no joke. I'm so pissed. Check out the report so you don't have to actually take my word for it, but this magazine needs to be contacted in mass and put in their proper place of racist freaking communist idiots who are attacking white people. This is straight up racism. Now, the report is called Beyond Pro-Choice. The solution to white supremacy is white abortion. Now, the report goes on to detail and says, in a progressive society, and I'm not a progressive, but in a progressive society, it is often white females that stand in the way of equality and justice. Systematic white supremacy defends first and foremost on the white family union. When white conquerors forcefully penetrated the indigenous homeland of the native people of America, they were quick to replace it with their white societies, initiating their partisanism by establishing white plantations headed by their white fathers, submissive white mothers, and most critically, their little white babies. With full dominion over the enslaved and oppressed people of color that were forced to uphold these micro fiefdoms. It goes on to say that it is no surprise then that American fascination with the white family unit has gone hand in hand with the historical proliferation of white supremacy. That is why the white family unit must be destroyed. What the hell is wrong with these people? I'm so sorry. I'm a Christian girl, but here they are, and I haven't even read the worst part yet. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But here's what they're basically saying. You're white. You're a white supremacist. You stomped on Native Americans and put black people in freedom or in bondage. I mean, we're not living 100 years ago. We're in a new generation. But all of a sudden, if we're going to bring up all the...
Here's a newsflash. It was Christians that ended slavery. And by the way, we're in the year 2017, folks. I mean, she brought up a great point. We're not in 1863 anymore. We're not even in 1963 anymore. The only slavery that's taking place is in the Middle East and Africa. It's black on black slavery. And a lot of people don't know this, but the very first documented slave owner in America was a black man. Yes, that's right. A black man. And you can look that up. Muslims have slaves in 2017. Christians do not. Black people have slaves in 2017. White people do not.
Past crimes? Let's bring up the past crimes of every tribe, nation, and race. You know what I mean? That's like going into, well, I don't know. That's like going into Japan and saying, well, because a bunch of Japanese live here, you stomped on the white people in Japan, and so you need to stop having Japanese babies. This is how stupid it is. Look, we just so happen to be here in America, more European in color. That is the nationality, the majority of the nationality in America. Yes, we're a melting pot. Yes, we're a mix of everything. There is one that dominates. Just like if you go to China, there's one that dominates. Or if you go to Japan, there's one that dominates. Or if you go to South Africa or Africa or wherever, then there's one that dominates. If we go to Mexico, then there's a race that dominates. It's no different here in America. But yet idiots at Medusa magazine want to sit there and say, well, you white women should stop having babies because you're white and you're a white supremacist.
Very apropos that this magazine would be named after a very evil entity in Greek mythology. That's not an accident either, folks. And all that mythology crap that's built on sex, blood, and violence, that's satanic, ladies and gentlemen, and that's their ultimate father.
And so stop having white babies! What? Ugh, what is wrong with people? I mean, really. But no, never fear. It goes on to add a little bit more after it's already said that the white family unit needs to be destroyed, right? Here's what else they had to say, and I quote, white women, it is time to do your part, white ladies. Your children reinforce the white supremacist society that benefits you. If you claim to be a progressive, notice right there, they're targeting liberal idiots because look, if you're a liberal and you're a progressive, please see what they are doing. They care not for you. And here they are saying, if you claim to be a progressive, get rid of your child. Okay. Hello. Hello. That should wake up anyone on the left that they care not about you. But let's go on. If you claim to be a progressive and yet willingly birth a white child by your own choice, you're a hypocrite. In other words, white, progressive, liberal, you need to marry a man of color and have not a white child, because if you have a white child, oh no, that's just horrible. Goes on to say, white women should be encouraged to abort their white children and to use their fed up time and resources to assist women of color who have no other choice but to raise their children. I got a few words for you, Medusa Magazine. Go to... Ugh! What are they thinking? I'm so sorry. Just so upset. That's racist. You are being...
Okay, so... I'm going to end it right there with the emotionalities. But yes, see, the family unit is the backbone of this country. And due to time constraints, I'm not going to be able to. I highlighted the 30 crimes of Obama. I'll save that tomorrow. I'm also going to save off on. I've read some of the quotes from the Founding Fathers on how this nation was built and why we're under such vicious attack and why the liberals basically want to wipe out our history from our first two centuries. And it makes sense. And why they want censorship. And why history has to be rewritten. But I'm going to conclude the show with a clip from a white woman who, if Medusa magazine had it their way, she never would have been born. Her name is Melissa Odin, and she is a white Christian woman. And if the liberals had it their way, she would have been killed. Here's Melissa.
Melissa, your mother had an abortion during her pregnancy with you, and you survived it. When I was 14, I found out the truth about my life. That's when my survival came to light. When I first found out, I was devastated. And that night, I struggled with anger for the first time. I was born in August of 1977 in Sioux City, Iowa. And what I know about my birth is that I wasn't intended to be born alive. My mother, who was a college student at the time, was 19. She wasn't married to my father. She was almost 8 months pregnant with me, from what we can gather. She went into the hospital and had a saline infusion for an abortion done. The saline infusion abortion involves injecting a toxic salt solution into the amniotic fluid surrounding that preborn baby in the womb. And the intent of that salt solution is to actually scald the child to death from the outside in. I soaked in that toxic salt solution for 5 days. My mother went back to the hospital, had her premature labor induced with me, and that was the day my mother was meant to give birth to a dead child. The medical professionals initially believed that the abortion had succeeded in ending my life. The joy for me is realizing that that day when I was left for dead in the hospital, a nurse heard me. That nurse and that team of professionals understood that my life was worth trying to save. After I survived that failed abortion, my biological parents made an adoption plan for me. And I'm really blessed because my adoptive parents met me while I was still being cared for in the neonatal intensive care unit. And my parents tell the story of how the first time they laid eyes on me lying in the incubator, they fell in love with me. And, you know, I always joke, I know I wasn't a pretty baby. I know that about myself. But my parents saw the inherent beauty that existed in me. I want everybody to see that. If we look behind words, if we look behind numbers, this is what abortion looks like. This is what tens of millions of other children would look like in one way, shape, or form, if only they were given the opportunity to live. It's not just a word. It's not a statistic. It's not just a choice, just a right. It's a human being.
I think that if you're ever in a debate, you know, I should put this clip on my phone somewhere for easy access, because if anybody wants to debate you on why infanticide, and that's what it is okay, you can just play, you don't have to say a word, you can just play them this clip, and, you know, that's all there is to say. They're either going to get it or they're not going to get it. And in the prior clip, that Medusa magazine is trying to say, oh, you know, these poor women of color that, you know, have to raise their children. Hey, you know what? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. And this goes to men and women. Sexual intercourse can create a few outcomes. One, and a combination of any of them. You could have a good time. You could have a bad time. You can get a disease. And a pregnancy could take place. Even if you take all of the proper precautions. Those are the four outcomes. And any combination of the four can ensue. It could be great. You could get a disease. And there could be a pregnancy. It could be a disaster. You could get a disease and you could get pregnant. If you are not prepared to deal with the last one, the pregnancy, other than validating your right to kill it, then you know what? Keep your legs closed and keep your dick in your pants. That's reality, folks. Society has created a fantasy where you could just have a do-over. Well, you know, it was an accident. Didn't mean it. I'm just going to kill it. It's not a human being yet. See, states decide, well, at 20 weeks it is. Well, at 18 weeks it is. Well, at 26 weeks it is. I'm not even going to get into, because due to time constraints, I'm not even going to get into the playing God syndrome. I'm not even going to get into it. And parents, teach your children. You want to dance to the music? Then you have to pay the band. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. Thank you for tuning in. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central. We're going to lead off with Obama's 30 crimes for impeachment. Thank you.